The second reading is from Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Please take a seat. Let me pray for us before we begin. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us this morning. As we read your word, we pray that you would help us to understand it. May your Holy Spirit be with us, changing us, helping us to understand the way that you want us to live, and help us to apply that to our lives. Amen. It'll be really helpful to have your Bibles back open to page 986, I think it is. 964, someone's on it for me. Just to Mark chapter 5, just so that you're looking through as I preach, just to make sure that what I'm saying is right. Thank you. let me start by mentioning a title that some people go by. It's normally used by people who have some involvement in the church as a child or a young adult, but have very little to do with God as a teenager or an adult or an older adult. It's been said to me on more than one occasion, I'm a non-practicing Christian. There's a misunderstanding there, isn't there, about what it really means to be a Christian. When you ask someone like this what it means for them to be a Christian, they normally have to think. And after a while they say, it means that they believe in Jesus. But what they really mean is that they believe Jesus existed, but that doesn't have any effect on their lives. I bring this up because the passage today reminds us that belief in Jesus changes who you are. It will have an effect in your life. You have a new identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone believes in Christ, the new has come, the old is gone. If you believe in Jesus, one of the things that has changed about you is that you are now salt and light. You are now the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Jesus also teaches strongly that we are to keep being salt and light. He says that salt without saltiness is not good for anything. A light that is hidden under a basket is meaningless. Jesus says this so that we will understand the foolishness of hiding our relationship with God from others. That's pretty much the point of this passage. We're going to draw a few more things out of it, but that's the crux. Jesus wants us to let our light, which is Jesus, shine before others, that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Now, my first point is that if you are a Christian, you are already the salt and the light. You are a new person in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come, you've changed. And this change happens because we realize we'd been living in a way that dishonored God. We'd rejected his rule in our life, in our lives. Jesus saves us by us from our sins by his death and restores us into a loving relationship with him. Ephesians 3:18 reads, I pray that you may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Knowing the incredible love that God has for us makes us want to live for him. No longer do we live for ourselves, but we now follow Christ, whom we've put our trust in. This is the order that it goes then. We are saved, And then we do good works because we are saved. Sometimes we think that it's the other way around. I'm mentioning this because we are saved to do Christian things. Because we're in relationship with God. Being salt and light, Jesus says, is a part of being a Christian. And we need to trust his words in this. We might not always feel like salt and light, but it is part of your new life as a follower of Christ. I started college 3 weeks ago now, and my body is still not used to my new way of life. I used to be a chef, so for the past few years, I needed to be as awake and have heaps of energy from about 2 p.m. till about 8 p.m. It's a bit different for a student. College needs me to be awake, clothed, dressed, ready to learn at 8 a.m. To learn Hebrew. And like it or not, that's a part of my new identity as being a student. I have to be awake, I have to be ready to learn, otherwise I'm not going to take anything in. However, the problem is that my body thinks it's still a chef. And it's fighting me on that. But it's now a student. So no matter how hard my body fights for sleep-ins or late nights, it's not going to get it, unless it's a weekend or unless I'm preparing a sermon. And it's the same with being salt and light. Some days we might not feel like being salt. Sometimes we might not feel like we're light. But we are. If you are a Christian, you are the salt and the light. It's a part of your identity. It's a part of who you are. And sometimes our sinful nature will fight that. Sometimes we find it hard to follow Christ, to show people that we follow him and that we love him, but we need to submit to who we are. We are saved by God who loves us. And that means our identity is decided by Jesus, whom we follow and serve. Through belief in Christ, we are salt and light. My second point is, it's foolish to abandon our purposes in being salt and light. In each allegory, Jesus speaks of salt and light abandoning their purpose. Have a look at the passage. With the salt, it's lost its saltiness. With the light, it's hidden under a basket, so the light cannot be seen. Jesus highlights here the foolishness of this. The same Greek word he used for lost its saltiness also means to become foolish. We see how this salt is treated. It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men. Jesus is clear here that salt should be salty. It's part of its purpose as salt. Jesus uses this analogy to refer to a Christian who does not let his light shine. If a Christian does not let his light shine to people, then he has become foolish. Verse 15 says, "Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." What's stressed here is that our light is to be seen. Jesus says that lighting a basket and putting it under a lamp is just not done. So should our light be not be hidden, but shown before others. I had the displeasure of using a meaningless device a couple of weeks ago. The bag in my vacuum cleaner was full, and I didn't realize until I'd walked it through the entire house. I say walked because it wasn't actually doing anything. It had no suction, so the head was just saying hello to the floor. And I got to say, it was pointless and meaningless. I had to clean out the bag and then do it all over again. Jesus says this of us, if we hide our light from others, if we hide the relationship we have with him from others, it's foolishness. This week I wanted to see how foolish it would be to eat salt without its saltiness and put a light under a basket. I was going to grind some salt into some dirt and then sprinkle that on some food because it's thought from the passage that salt without its saltiness is actually talking about when it's been mixed in with all these other compounds and so you can't taste it anymore because it's actually impossible for salt to lose its saltiness. And so it just becomes leftover muck. And I was going to put a light under a basket in my room. And I thought about this for 5 seconds And then I didn't do it because it would just be silly. I'd probably get sick from the dirt and then have to sit in the darkness. It would just make no sense. And this is the big point that Jesus picks up. Being salt and light are such a part of our identity as Christians, we should not be able to hide it. I've recently been reading short stories about the fictional character Sherlock Holmes, the great detective. And he has this uncanny ability to know who a person is and what they do just by looking at them and examining their mannerisms. What they do, how they act, he can tell who a person is. And so I wonder, what would it be like to get someone like Sherlock Holmes into this building this morning? If he were to look at you, if he were to hear you speak, would he realize that you are in relationship with God? Do you let that truth that you are loved by God be known to people? Or are you like salt that has lost its saltiness? Are you like a lamp that is under a basket? Friends, do you see how foolish this is? How silly would it be for me to keep using my vacuum cleaner with a bag full? How absurd would it be for Sherlock Holmes to come in here, look at us, and not see our relationship with God? Jesus tells us it is foolish to hide who we are. Jesus commands us to let our light shine before others. This is a normal and natural part of being a Christian. Here is where we are at. If you have faith in Jesus, salt and light are a part of your identity. It's who you are. Jesus commands us to shine our light, telling us it is foolish to try to hide it. Now, verse 16, if you have a look at it, is going to answer two more questions for us. How do we shine? And what does it look like when we shine? Now, the passage tells us to let our light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Well, there are a couple of other passages that reveal to us that the light is actually Jesus. We know that the light is Christ. John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 read, in him was life, this is talking about Christ, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. And verse 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And again, a passage we read 2 weeks ago in Matthew 4, verses 12 to 16 reads, now when he heard, this is also talking about Jesus, now when he heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those living in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. If the light is Jesus, then shining our light means we shine him. And we shine Jesus through our works. Our works and our speech about Jesus are very interconnected here. As you speak about Jesus, people will look at your life to see if your life also testifies to your relationship with God. And as you live for Jesus, people will see that you're in relationship with God. And they will listen out to see if you speak about it as well. Last year, I worked in a restaurant where half the workforce were Christians. And one non-Christian and I had many discussions about the lives of the Christian co-workers. Sometimes their lives showed their relationship with God, and sometimes they didn't. And this can be very confusing for non-Christians. When we do good works, we're just behaving like Christ. That's all it is. We're letting people see that he's in us, that he's changed us. He's made us into a new person, and that new person wants to love God and love other people. The works that Jesus is talking about is what would Jesus do works. Knowing that they're these types of works illuminate a bit more about what they're like. They show that God is in us and that he wants people to know him. Someone I know that we'll call Boris had a friend who's planning on moving into an apartment soon. And Boris was moving out of his house and decided to sell his fridge to him. But Boris also gave him some free pots and pans, a whole stack of plates, some mugs, some glasses and some cutlery. And Boris felt really strongly that he should let his friend know that he was giving him all this stuff because he believed that God loved his friend. So his friend said when he came to pick up the stuff, he said, "Thanks so much, you're saving us all this money. You're giving us a good start." And Boris just replied, "That's all right. I'm doing it because God loves me, and I want you to know that he loves you as well." That was the end of the conversation. What's good about this story is that it shows the types of works that we're to display are works that will cause people to give glory to God, not to us. Boris could have said, "Yeah, I know I'm giving you all this stuff because I'm awesome." But he pointed it back to God and said, "I'm doing this because God is awesome." Glory in the New Testament refers to the likeness of God or his character, his good, loving, and perfect character. We Christians give glory to God by also living in his likeness, by living in the likeness or the character of Christ, mimicking Christ's character in everyday life, thinking at every moment, what would Jesus do? And I think we find this the hardest to do, the hardest to shine our light when we are persecuted. Some people don't like God. And if we follow him, if we show the character of God, they might take it out on us. If we show God's character to people, they might tease or mock us or look down on us. So what is the reason that we are to be salt and light in the world? What is the reason that we are to show this light to other people? The reason is that hostility against us is not the only other not the only effect that we have. Verse 16 says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." The desired effect that we should have for people as we show them our relationship with God, as we do good works before them, is that they also should desire to give glory to God. That is, that God would reveal to them who he is, and they would become Christians. They will likely notice us, that we are doing good works, but we will want to point them to God, tell them that we are doing his work, serving him and serving other people, because of the love that he has shown to us. Because we love him, and he loves us. And it's actually a really awesome thing to be a part of. Sometimes we think about salt and light being this burden, thinking, "Oh, I've really got to show who Jesus is in every action." Think about it this way. This is the way that we should think of it. God includes us in bringing people to know him. The most awesome relationship that anyone will ever have in their life is their relationship with God. And God allows us to play a part in helping people to realize that. What would it look like for people to come through our doors and see us loving him and loving other people in humility and telling them about God? What would it look like for us to show Jesus in the way that we live to people outside of here as well? To our friends, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers, our enemies. When people see us living like Christians, seeking to love God and love other people, they find that attractive. They encounter God through us. And God calls them to know him through us. And what a glorious and beautiful thing that is. I know that I'm still quite new here. I'm still getting to know people. So I don't know where everyone is at in their faith. Some of us may be very outspoken and confident in shining our light. And some of us may be meek and humble. We won't all shine our light in the same way. As I said, some of us might be confident and pretty plain in the way that they do it. And others of us might be meek and humble, like the woman who knelt at Jesus' feet and anointed them before his death. Maybe you've been hiding your light. You know, sometimes it's hard to feel normal or comfortable showing who Jesus is. Sometimes you'll need to think and pray about how best to shine your light to certain people and in certain situations. If you want help with this, please come and talk to myself or Paulo or Daniel. We'd love to talk and pray with you. I'm sure that there are other people as well here that you could talk to. If you have faith in Jesus, salt and light are a part of your identity. Jesus commands us to shine our light, telling us it is foolish for us to try to hide it. We shine our light by living like Jesus and revealing to people our works so that they may encounter God through us and God would call them to know him. Philippians 2:15-16 says that we shine like stars as we hold out the word of life. For the glory of God, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that there are many people in our lives that we know that need you. There are many people in that we don't know that also need you. Lord, we pray that you would make us disciples that would shine your light. Make us comfortable with who we are. Help us to know that we are in such a great relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that you would make us not be afraid to show that to others. May we shine our light to our friends, our family, our neighbors, our enemies. And Lord, may you be drawing people through that to know you. May you reveal to them who you are, that you dearly love them, and that love is expressed in your Son who died for them. Amen.